Hey yo, we about to tear it up. Hey, yo.
Break for break, break for break, get down.
This right here is how we do it. Break it down.
It's the Breakcasters podcast. We break things down to the very last compound. My name is Sumit, aka the Potty Mouth of the South.
And my name is Chris Mitchell, aka the Actual Factual. How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm well. It's autumn has descended.
Yeah, for real.
You know what I mean? It's just so dreary and dark and cold. But it's okay. We're working out here, Chris.
Yeah, we are. We are. Just want to shout out all the people that have been listening to the podcast.
Yeah, man.
There's one person in particular I wanted to shout out. Forgot the name.
What do you mean you forgot?
I have forgotten the name. So what we're going to do is next episode, I'm going to come back with the proper name so I can shout out the right person.
You listen, shout out everyone.
Hold on, everyone. Right, keep talking. Give me some time.
You got to talk about Math Court, man. Math Court.
That's who I wanted to shout out. Yes. Big shout out. Yeah, him. Yeah. Shout out to Gravity Math. He basically tweeted us today and he said, check this out.
Go on.
Cream rises to the top.
Is it all about coffee?
Now you're talking about us, bro. So okay. He said, cream rises to the top, rapidly becoming the de facto hip hop podcast. Listen, bro, when anyone says de facto, take them very, very seriously, right? RZA.
Bong bong.
The de facto leader of Wu-Tang. De facto, bro. Showbiz.
Bong bong.
Showbiz is the de facto leader of DITC.
Wow.
We are the de facto hip hop podcast, bruv.
Nah, appreciate Gravity Math.
That's, come on now.
Also, what a great Twitter handle too.
That's mad. It's mad. It's mad. It's all types of mad.
That's a dope Twitter handle. But speaking of dope.
Yes.
We have Shay Noir.
Come on.
On the Breaking Out podcast.
Yes, Lord.
This is good, man.
Like, yeah, it's good.
Like I'm kind of like, we're seeing someone rise very quickly, and we're seeing someone who's super talented rise very quickly. We've already talked to Apollo Brown. We've waxed lyrical about As God Intended. Thriller the Hunt 2. She's got another one on the way. Like, she just don't stop. And, you know, it's not like she's just doing these three projects that she'll have by the end of this year. There's verses and there's guest verses, and she stays working. And it's important for us to celebrate people not only who have been legendary, but people who will become legends. So Shay Noir on the Breakouts podcast, bro. Can it get any better than that?
Let's just do it. We've talked long enough. Let's do it.
Check it out. Right, Breaking Atoms. It's the podcast. Chris Summit. And you know what this means, right? It means another interview.
Another classic.
Another classic. This time we've got the Queen of Upstate, 716 in particular.
Mm.
We've got someone who has, for me, album of the year. I've been saying a lot on Twitter and Insta that it's easily album of the year contender.
Right.
But I think I've settled now because we're coming to the end of the year. It's the shit weather has taken over England. So I'm settling on that because it was either Reasonable Drought or As God Intended. I'm going with As God Intended. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Shay Noir on the Breaking Out podcast. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We are happy to have you here.
I'm excited.
Yo, come on.
I'm excited.
We've got one
of the best MCs on planet Earth taking the time out this evening to have a chat with us.
I appreciate that.
No, you are dope. You are dope. You are dope. Just going to get that out of the way. Dope.
Yeah, we have to. So what we do this with everyone, right? We've done it with Mike Geronimo, OC, Apollo, Marco Polo, Raz Kaz, and then we'll do it with yourself. We are all about celebration. Sometimes we had a whole podcast dedicated to stands and whether it should be hip-hop stands. We've come to the conclusion that we should just celebrate the people that we love. And in one of your songs, you even talked about, like, people only give you praise when it's a eulogy. And so what we want to do here is just celebrate the people we love, people are making an impact in the culture, and people who have made an impact in the culture. So off the rip, like Chris said, you are super dope, and we love everything you do, and we're just glad we have you here. But I was going to talk about your upbringing, but I think we just get to the, I think we just get to the shits, right? We just get to the shits. You're signed to Trust Music Group, 38 Special produced most of your work. Can you talk through the kind of chemistry and the working process a little bit?
Yeah, so like when I first met Special back in 2018, just as far as our ear for music has always been, like, you know, we've always had a very similar ear for music. So that's always made it a lot easier for us to work together because of our ear for music. But yeah, we just like cut from that, just that cloth of being of authenticity. And I think that's what really makes the music so beautiful and the chemistry through the music so fire. So yeah, just being cut from that cloth of just authenticity, you know, having the, like, we both stand on similar morals and principles. So that's made it a lot easier for us to, you know, really make good music together.
So I get the vibe that Spesh is almost like a mentor to you, in the studio and just in life in general. What are some of the jewels, or what's the biggest piece of advice that he's given you thus far?
Oh man, it's just a lot of jewels that he's given me just about the music business. You know, with me being a woman, it's easy for people to take advantage of me. And then not only just being a woman, I didn't have a lot of knowledge of the business when I first met him. So just him giving me jewels and teaching me about those things. You know, there's a jewel that Spesh said, and I used it in one of the songs. I think it was Worth Gold. Spesh said something on the lines of, like, he just was telling me, he was like kind of saying, like, I don't want you to be so dependent on me to eat. And then he also was giving me like some advice as far as, like, you know, don't always, what did he say? He said, you got to create positions to feed other people and to give to others. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just trying to boss me up. You know what I'm saying? Turn to a person that's not dependent on him all the time to go and get my food. Just teaching me those things and just giving me a lot of advice as far as the business side behind, you know, this music and everything.
On Dying Breed, Thriller Hunt 2, whose idea was it to go back to back?
That was Spesh. That was on him. That was my first time. Like, Thriller Hunt 2 was the first time he's sitting down with somebody working on a whole project. So I didn't know that you need a project going back and forth for somebody, or you need features. Like, I used to just do all my own, like, every mixtape and stuff that I used to drop before then, I just was rapping over them by myself. Like, I wasn't rapping with nobody. So he was the one who, like, you know, that was his idea to do that.
It was definitely dope.
As someone who grew up in the church as well, your song Two Summers really, really stood out to me. The line where you say, I got baptized, I was raised in the church, but I watched my mama struggle with no help that made me stray from the church. Mm-hmm. Can you unpack that a bit for me? What kind of help were you expecting help from the church? Or was it a thing where, you know, here's your mom who's so spiritual and religious, but she's struggling? Was, you know, break that up for me a bit.
Well, you know, I come from grandparents who, like, they ran the churches back in the day. And, you know, if your members are having problems in the church going to figure out a way to help them pay a bill or the bills or figure something out. They helped. They were like a family, a community. It's not really so much like that anymore with churches. And, you know, I watched my mom, you know, be a single parent and struggle with, you know, a single parent of five kids and struggle for a majority of her life with no help from people that she's paying tithes to, people that she's spending, a place that she's spending most of her time at. You know, they're not, I've watched her struggle, and these people know these things and they're not helping. So, you know, it just made me just look at just the way the church is organized these days. Not so much as what I believe in, because I will always stand on what I believe, but just the people behind the organization, not the organism, but more the organization.
Gotcha. I just realized as well, Sumit, before I asked, after I asked the question, I said, can you break it up for me instead of break it down?
Break it down.
I'm an idiot.
You've forgotten our motto already.
I'm an idiot. I noticed, Shay, in your Twitter bio, you have Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. Just for the benefit of our listeners, that's a Bible scripture, and it says that two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. If two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Through one may be empowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. That's kind of deep. Why is that scripture in your Twitter bio in particular?
Because it's one of my favorite. Ecclesiastes is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible.
Fire.
Because it's so many jewels in just that one chapter.
Right.
But that particularly stuck out to me the most. I was watching the sermon, and whoever was preaching the sermon, the pastor that was preaching the sermon in the video, used that verse, and he kind of made an entire sermon from that. I've always said that, like, just more of the whole just having a team thing. This is also, like, you know, something I learned from being around Spech. Like, people respect movements more, and versus you just being alone. That's something I definitely learned from being around Spech. It's not even nothing he had to say. It's just something I noticed in the game. You know, not just in our particular situation, but just the game in general. If you look at a lot of the biggest artists of this genre, they came from groups, or they had a movement, or they had a team of some sort behind them. And my biggest issue when I first came out is I used to try to do everything myself. And I didn't realize that was taken. And I didn't see it till now that if I had a little help in certain areas, I probably would have made it further, you know, around that time. But of course, everything happens for a reason. But I stand on, like, having a solid team behind you.
Yeah.
You know, for moments like, you know, when you take L's and you go through losses and, you know, you just deal with certain things, you need a team behind you.
Yeah, I like that. My favorite book in the Bible is Proverbs. Again, it's just bars upon bars. Sumit, before we start a sermon.
I just think that was a really interesting point you said about the biggest artists in the game always had a movement. I'm the resident Hove stan that Chris takes the piss out of me. He genuinely takes the mick out of me for being a Hove stan. But if you think about Drake, Jay-Z, 50, Kanye, the biggest of the top tier, Kendrick, you know, there's always a team around it. And I never actually clocked onto that until just now. That's a very interesting, Wayne, you know, there's, the list could go on. That's really interesting.
It comes from a team, a solid team behind them. Like, regardless if the team breaks up later at some point, but you always remember them from where they come from. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's something you always mention. They come from people around them, a team around them.
Yeah. Speaking about your first three projects, Roman mythology takes, you know, it's a key part of the motif of it anyway. What inspired that in particular to have it on your kind of three projects?
Because when I did Thrill of the Hunt, the first Thrill of the Hunt, this was back in 2016, I think, or 2017. Yeah, it was like 2016, 2017 this time. The cover that my graphic designer at the time did, my graphic designer Miles, the cover that he did for it was around that theme. When I decided that I wanted to do the second one, me and him talked, and I told him I kind of want to go with the same kind of style I did for the first cover, but just take it a notch up and actually put the content, you know, based around that. And it's honestly, it just really came. It was something that just came out of nowhere. Like, of course, the David and Goliath story is another one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I've always wanted to do an entire project inspired by that. So when I talked to my graphic designer, Miles, and who's also like one of my best friends, when I told him that I wanted to do the second one inspired by that, I don't think he was familiar with it. So I sent him the story and everything, and he did his research and read up on it and whatever. And he sent me like a draft cover like that maybe a few days later, I think. And he drew a picture of his brother. But his brother was Goliath's head. So kind of went off that theme. And like even down to the beats that Spesh sent me for that, like it just went perfect. Spesh didn't know the theme behind the album when he sent me those beats. So I'm just like, this is just perfect. Like like the sound. And then I went through and named every track. Like it all just went together perfect. So
yeah, was it your idea to have your name in blood?
No, I don't know. I think that was more my friend Miles' idea.
Yeah, we need to talk to Miles. Miles is wild.
Yeah. Put your name in blood. That's crazy, man.
Yeah, that's follow upstate. What is it? Upstate jerseys. Oh, None Without Sin, actually. Yeah, go follow None Without Sin on Instagram. Like
okay. All right, we're gonna reach out to Miles. Let's move on to As God Intended. That as a title is extremely powerful to me. Who came up with the title and how does it fit in with the themes on the album and tie them all together?
Apollo actually came up with that. That was actually a title he had before he even heard the album. Like before he heard, I would say, what I had to bring, my lyrics. He threw this title at me, and when he told me it the first time, he was like, "We're gonna play around and get some different options or whatever." I'm like, "No, that's it right there. That's the name of it." Because it just goes so perfect with, I mean, of course, where I stand spiritually and just how I feel about as far as my career. It's not something that I wanted. I wasn't like one of those kids. I was 7-8 years old saying I want to be that when I grow up. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is something, not to say that it fell in my lap, because I've been doing music since I was 15, 16 years old, but it wasn't something that I've always dreamed about. Like it wasn't a dream. It was always a talent, but it wasn't something I thought I could see myself doing. And so I would say around 2018, when I said I wanted to start taking it serious, and as soon as I prayed about it and I started taking it serious, things just started lining up. I'm not saying everything happened overnight, but I just started seeing things line up for me that before I said I'm going to take it serious, I didn't see these things lining up for me. I always had the talent. I just didn't have the things to push me to where I'm at now.
Gotcha. But it's actually quite cool that he came up with that title because, yeah, considering your background, it just came together.
It meshes well, right? It just meshes well. Like there's some things in the universal. It just brings it all together. So
no, absolutely. Let's talk about 12 Hours though. For me, I'm a big, big fan of storytelling. The craziest thing about that story is I think it's a masterclass. And the reason why I say it's a masterclass in storytelling, when you listen to it, it's like, okay, that's crazy. That can't happen. But then on the flip side of things, you're like, you know what? On the right day with the right people, something like that can actually happen. How did you come up with the idea for that story? And why was Lisa so crazy?
To be honest with you, I had the first verse. I just wrote it like out of nowhere. It took me like maybe 30 minutes to write the first verse. And I remember showing it to my friend and he was like, "Nah, keep going." it sounded like a movie in a way. So I just kept going and I don't know, like by the time I got to the third verse, I remember like watching my friends listening to it and it's like, "Oh, you did," you know, they just was going crazy. So I was like, "Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna keep that." Cause I wasn't even gonna use it. I was thinking about scraping like all three of the verses and just getting on there and just rapping. But right. I'm like, "Oh, they need to hear that. I can definitely get on my," like, you know, I've always had imagery, but just take y'all on a journey, get y'all a break from the usual Shay and just take y'all on a journey.
No, you took us on a journey for real. 9-4, my favorite song on the album. Love, listen, yeah, let me tell you something. You see that song, yeah? Yo, the song is crazy, but there's a few things on there that really made me want to talk to you. And it was, you said, "Foxy was my favorite, but Lauren Style inspired me." Why did you make that distinction? Because if Foxy's your favorite, why didn't she inspire you? Like, you've made a difference. This is my favorite, or she's my favorite, but this one made me want to write. Why make that distinction? What's the difference?
Because I would say Foxy had more of that street appeal to her, and that's the type of thing that I was, you know, I liked growing up. So, and it was a little more relatable to me. So I listened to more Foxy, but Lauren's style and just the whole, Lauren is the whole package. So Lauren's style and just her being her authentic self. And actually at the time being one of the few, I would say female rappers that were in, that was, I would say more mainstream, that didn't sexualize herself. That was an inspiration for me. So I say more of that style and just being that whole package. But Foxy's lyrics at the time, like, you know, a lot of her stories and things that, you know, that she talked about in her music just was more relatable to me at the time.
Got you. Got you. Sticking with 9-4. I know you're a producer and you're working on some beats. You mentioned that your first beat was inspired by a Kanye West track. What track was it? And what are some of your favorite Kanye West beats?
You know, I can't even point out which one, but Kanye was that producer for us in my era growing up. I'm 26. So I was really growing up in that era when Kanye was producing for everyone. And just that soulful, like, type of chipmunky sound on the soul samples, I loved it. So that, I would say, just his style and just his way of producing is what really inspired me. And one of my favorite songs by Kanye was Always Jesus Walks and Through the Wire.
Right.
My favorite Kanye West album is Late Registration, but, you know, but those are, like, two of my favorite Kanye beats. And his beat that he did for, I was just listening to the song. The song he did
for Overnight Celebrity.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. So listen, I got to share something with you, right? I have the same birthday as Apollo. I'm born on the same day.
He does.
Right. So when you... Yeah, so me and Apollo, like, we spiritually connected. That's my guy, right? So when you said on Illmatic, I'm sorry, on 9-4, you were born on the same day as Illmatic dropped. I felt that. When and how did you find out that you were born on the same day one of the greatest albums of all time dropped?
As I got older, you know, they do like a little celebration anniversary every year. So I noticed that it kept falling on my birthday. Oh, this is cool. I was probably like, I probably was like a teenager, but I think when I had made the song, I had forgot that, I was born the same day as Illmatic. Like, I had forgot, like, because I don't really pay attention to, like, when albums came out. Like, most of the time, I don't even know until I get online, but, you know, but that, yeah, that was something that I noticed when I was, like, young.
Yeah, no, that's it. It's just crazy how everything just ties together, because you also did Buffalo State of Mind.
Yep.
And then you did the remake. I've forgotten the name of the song on the 1994 album. It was you and RJ Payne, I think.
Oh yeah, it was the first Buffalo State, not Buffalo, but New York State of Mind.
Yes, that's right.
First, yeah, probably.
Yeah, so the Illmatic Nas connection is kind of just weaved into your journey. I just think it's beautiful, man. I love it. Sumit, over to you.
It's dope. Hearing us talk about it, I looked at the vinyl and I remembered that Apollo's favorite song from As Gone Intended was 94. Because we did a whole, like, you know, what's your favorite song from each of his albums? Mine was Daddy's Girl, only because I've recently become a father. Mm-hmm. So I need to speak to you about where were you when you wrote that song? Because it's a very impactful song to me. It touches me differently personally. So where were you when you wrote that, and to kind of go so deep in that, like, did it take a lot from you to go that deep, or was it just kind of seamless?
So it was a winter day, just chilling at home when I wrote it. When I first heard the beat, though, this was like late last year when Apollo sent me the beat. I didn't write to it till months later. And a lot of it is because I'm like, this beat is different and it's special and I need to take my time with it. But I knew when I heard it, I was like, I want to get personal. You know, I've always talked about me not having a relationship with my dad growing up, but I never dug deep and really, like, got into why, you know, why I never really had one with him. I feel like I dug a little deep and it's even more stuff, but I just gave, like, you know, you guys a taste of like why, you know what I'm saying? I mentioned things like this in my song about me not have, in different songs, I should say, about me not having a relationship with my father. So me being a woman, I don't think I've ever heard any woman in hip hop talk about that in a song. Like, and it's a lot of women in hip hop who have daddy issues. It's a lot of girls in this world, period, who have daddy issues. But I've never heard a coming. I never heard it coming from a woman's perspective. I've always heard it from a male's perspective, but not a woman. I'm like, and I can speak for these things because I've had daddy issues, you know, my entire life. So just me being able to speak on that was dope, and just to see people receiving it. It's definitely one of those B-sides that I can see 10, 20 years from now. It may take that long for people to really consider it a classic or even catch on to what I'm saying on there. But I knew, you know, I knew I had to get that out.
No, it's very important because, you know, sometimes music, and kind of following to the next question about music and how it can get you through the highs and lows of life. And sometimes a lot of artists, I'm guessing for the same for you, was it therapeutic to go through that, or did it kind of open up a wound that you still needed to unpack?
In a way, it's therapeutic because I'm still going through that. To be honest with you, like, nothing has really gotten better in that situation. It's just me being able to talk about it. Yeah, I would say it's more therapeutic, but it's definitely still like an open wound. It's nothing still like, this still is a process and thing that I'm still dealing with. You know, even with me being grown, 26 years old, I'm still dealing with this.
No, fair. Step change. What is it about Rochester and Buffalo that all of you guys are so prolific? What is it in the water? Are you drinking that Pharrell water? He looks young. Is the water so prolific that you're just churning it, like, especially just on one? Ransom, you, like Griselda, what's going on over there? What do we need to drink over there?
You know, I don't know. You know, I think a lot of it is just like it's still very gritty upstate. It's still very gritty as far as like the violence, the drugs, like that's still a very prominent thing up here. Like it hasn't changed at all, you know? So I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Like, I don't know, but yeah, we definitely still dealing with shit. Like even with us being in, like, you know, in the game and, you know, we making a little money now. We're enjoying our lives. Like we're in a position where we're on that climb to financial comfortability, or, you know, where we're already there. And even with all of that, you still got to deal with things, just deal with a lot of shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like this has been like kind of my roughest month of the year. You know, I lost a friend earlier this month, to violence. And, you know, this is, I'm still around all of this shit. It's very different for me. I can speak for myself. I talk like this because I'm still around it, like in projects, around all, you know, niggas die, people dying and dropping bodies and stuff, like around, you know, the drugs and everything. Like I'm still, for the most part, around all of that. Like this is literally a footstep away. So I could say, like, you know, for me, I think, you know, it's just that. That cloth, or I would say just the talk is a little different just because more I'm still very much in this shit.
Right. I'm sorry for your loss. Sorry to hear that. I saw, and this sounds strange after what you just said. I saw a tweet from you, 3 for 3. You're going for 3 for 3. 85% done, EP?
85.
Okay, so come on. What we expecting now, Shay? Come on now.
You're going to hear for the first time. I mean, you guys are going to hear for the first time because I've been producing, but for the first time, you're going to hear Shay Noor production.
Nice.
And me and Fresh got a dope record on there, too.
So you and who?
Me, Ransom, and Spesh.
Okay. All right. Talking about you, yeah, Ransom, and Spesh, I saw the picture, right? And you know what it was like? Have you ever seen Superman 2?
Yeah.
You know, I'm showing my age now. So in Superman 2, you had three people come from space, right? They was on some predator killer stuff, right? They came for Superman's head. It was two dudes and one woman, and the whole kneel before Zod type thing, right? And when I saw that picture of you, Spesh, and Ransom looking like some trained killers, it struck fear into my heart. I'm like, what is going on here? And you lot in all black, you with the leather, looking like you're just going to burn me through the screen with your eyes. I said, oh my, I said, listen, yeah, it's about to be a rap.
It's serious.
Yeah, I thought a project was coming, but I'm glad it's a song. But I think you three together would be like David and Goliath meets the Fugees. That's me.
That's hard. And we got some, well, listen, I'm telling you, we got good chemistry, and we got a joint on my next EP that's fire.
Is that why you're smiling like that? Because you know what we're about to get.
I heard Ransom verse. He sent it back to me last week, and I went absolutely crazy. I was like, this man's trying to, he's not playing.
No, he's not.
But I heard that verse, and I was like, yeah, this is verse of the year for me.
Whew. Well, ooh. I mean, he's got a few verses of the year, so it must be special. It must be special. Sumit, do you have any other questions?
No, I have more statements, right?
Okay, so shoot.
I think it's important when we talk about celebration and we talk about writers. When I listen to Spin the Bottle and the way in which you talk about people who have passed and then talk about like you searching for advice, so you talk to them in your sleep for you to be able to sleep, that imagery just really blew my mind. Mm-hmm. So I have to kind of almost, it's not a question, this is more than a statement, just going, I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk in those terms about, so we hear people talk about, you know, they're speaking to their homies or speaking to people who have passed, but the way in which you painted that picture, it was vivid in my mind. So more than anything, I was like, God damn, it's incredible. And I think there's an absolute art to be able to do that. In the same way I got books here from Keats and, you know, all these like novelists that we revere and when we study them, that the way in which you paint pictures is crazy. I think also, you know, there's a lot of things about ghostwriting, and I think Kiss the Ring, you kind of address that, people, but the way in which you address it, again, very, very novel. You don't just go like, you know, I write my own rhymes, you don't write shit. You go, people, if they think that you don't write your rhymes, it's because they ain't used to hearing what you're talking about. That's incredible. So in order like to everyone's talked about ghostwriting, I write my own shit, but again, no one has actually, I've never heard anyone, and Chris is the actual factual, so he can probably back up the facts, but the way in which you do that, again, that's incredible. And I think it speaks to your uniqueness. And then, you know, both views with Flea Lord and Special is just incredible. And so it's more of a salute to you that the way in which you put your rhymes together, but then have the metaphors and the vivid nature of it. It is Nas-like. So when Chris talks about you, you know, Illmatic was so vivid in the same way, your music is the exact same way. So I just want to salute you on that and be a stan, and then I'm done.
I appreciate
it. we've kept you long enough. Again, thank you so much for all your music and all the great stuff you've done. As God Intended is still in rotation. It's one of our favorite albums. We love what you're doing, and we're just excited for you. I think you're going to have an amazing career. And I'm just really, I feel blessed to experience it in real time. It's going to be one of those things that, you know, I tell my kids, or, you know, when I'm older, yo, you need to hear Shay Noir. And it's not going to be one of those things where, you know, oh, I caught up on it, I lived it in real time. And it's just exciting to hear you, and it's good to see good talented people win.
I appreciate y'all having me on here.
No, it's all good. You're welcome back anytime.
There you have it, Shay Noir on the Breaking Atoms podcast. We had to double check the pronunciation because you said what, Parks and her have nailed it, right?
Yeah. Sometimes people call it Shay Noir. I know it as Noir because of film noir.
Film, yeah.
Yeah. So it's Shay Noir. I just call her Shay, innit?
Shay. Listen. Yeah,
she's lovely.
She was brilliant. She gave us, you know, I'm really excited for the Spesh Ransom Shay record.
Bro, did you see the picture? It was kneeled before Zod in it was black form. It was black.
I never thought about it like
Look
that.
Look at the picture. It's kneeled before Zod.
Nah, but they were serious. They gave Superman problems.
Yo, like, let me tell you something, yeah. Homeboy with the beard. You see Homeboy with the box beard, yeah? He was different than a fam.
He was.
He was different, no, fam. Them man, they was wearing like jumpsuits with sequins and things on it, bro. Nah, it was different behavior.
They gave Suitman some problems, bro. It was on site too.
On site.
It was on site. All on site. Time.
Intergalactic beef.
Yeah, it was intergalactic beef. But you know, we've got Shay is, like you said, on her way and going to have a wonderful career. And we're just glad that we had on the podcast and for her to share her story and to talk through her kind of masterful storytelling. And I just can't wait for more from her, man. I can't wait.
Man. Like, yeah, I'm with it.
No one can ever accuse her of not putting enough out. You know what I'm saying? So really deep, deep episode. I'm really glad we got her on the podcast. And Chris, on to the next one, right?
Yeah, on to the next one, man. Give out the
socials.
Give out the socials and let people know where they can find us.
As always, you can find us on social media at Break the Atoms, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Don't forget, we are on every podcast platform. Do rate and review on Apple. Share the podcast with a friend. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Breaking Atoms, more interviews. We'll be back with another lost tape on Saturday. Lupe Fiasco. You know, we can go through a list, but listen, we've got more to come. But thank you to everyone who's listened. Chris, any famous words?
Last word? I'm good, man. Just appreciate all the support. De facto podcast, you get me? That's going to be my new AKA de facto. Yeah? All right.
Peace.
Peace.